Hello and welcome to the Women in Sport podcast. Our vision is that no one is excluded from the joy, fulfilment and lifelong benefits of sport. My name is Julia George. I'm a journalist, broadcaster and former gymnast. It's December 2024 and last month Women in Sport held its 40th anniversary conference in London. The guest list was a who's who of British sport, and amongst the participants was the actor and male ally Jim Carter, tennis coach Judy Murray, and Dame Catherine Granger, the new chair of the British Olympic Association. It was such a brilliant event. We wanted to share some highlights with you. Today's podcast features Catherine Granger's conversation with four senior figures in the business world who have put sport at the heart of their corporate agendas. Nick Reed is the managing director of Vitality Programme, which has become an increasingly strong presence in UK women's sport. He says that partnering with us was obvious to him because he hated seeing the inequality between men and women. Caroline Hawkins had a pretty grim experience of sport at school, but now speaks with the passion of a convert and does everything in her power to promote women and girls' sport. She's the chief talent officer at Savanta, a major data and market research company. Dan Frumkin studied finance and economics in his native US and is the CEO of Metro Bank, which has a long-standing relationship with us at Women in Sport, currently funding our groundbreaking opportunity mapping work. And Vicky Monk has always enjoyed sport, and she captained a crew of four women who rode the Atlantic in under 40 days in 2023. She's now the UK lead for the Collective at Wasserman, which seeks to advance the power of women. It's her voice you'll hear first.
For me personally, I have always been sporty and have always benefited from the amazing positive attributes that sport affords. As I've grown up through life, I've recognised that not everybody has had the same experiences that I've had, and particularly as a woman, I've seen that firsthand. And for me, I powerfully believe that sport has given me the confidence and the skills to go on and do everything that I've done with my professional life. And so for me, sport is about empowering girls and women to go on and do great things with their lives. And I think that just sums it up perfectly for me.
Lovely. We'll come back to what you're doing now and what you've done recently. Caroline, you hate sport, don't you?
Yeah, so I was that girl at school that hid in the changing rooms and would do anything to avoid PE. I hated sport and spent my life saying, I'm not sporty, I'm just not sporty. And then COVID hit and I was bored and you couldn't do an awful lot, so I took up running. What got me into sport or really understand the value of sport was my daughter. And my daughter, just from the minute she could walk, loved sport, embraced sport, and she played elite level basketball. And as a parent, I really then began to appreciate the value of sport and what joy it could bring to someone's life, how it enriched their life. And then as a leader within an organization, I began to see, when I was hiring people, how they would talk a lot about sport, how it influenced them. And I really began to see how the value of sport could translate into the professional environment and the skills it could bring to work. So, yeah, I've managed to learn to like sport more. I've come on a journey. But yeah, it was really through my daughter that I began to see the value of sport.
We're not saying the word love yet. We're not loving sport. That's fine. We've got another hour or so.
You have to, you have to recognise where your strengths are. I can definitely appreciate it. I love watching her play sport, I would say.
I appreciate your honesty as well, especially in this crowd. Nick, tell us about your story.
I've loved sport from a young age. I guess I've grown up without the barriers these guys had, and that's part of the discussions today. Sport has definitely been my oxygen for my physical health and my mental health. I now live my life through my kids, who have embraced sport in a way that I did. I unfortunately went to Loughborough University, so I realised quite quickly I was never going to make it amongst those athletes such as yourself. And then in a business context, I think sport has played, and particularly women in sport, has played a fundamental role in the growth of Vitality. You know, we have a purpose to make people healthier. It is as simple as that. And therefore, it's very synergistic with sport. And we've chosen sport as a platform to grow our brand. And we recognised very early on that there was this underrepresentation of women in sport, and that just did not chime with our values. And therefore, we have invested significantly as a pioneer in women in sport, which I guess we'll talk about later.
We're going to talk about lots about that. Dan, your personal reflections?
So I won't mention the personal stuff because they're mainly sports that nobody in here would really know, having grown up in America. No, you know them. So listen, for us, it's relatively straightforward. For Metro Bank, we believe that we're successful when the communities in which we operate are successful. So it matters to us how well Orpington does, it matters to us how well Liverpool does, it matters to us how every community does. And for us to have a vibrant community over the next 10, 20, 30 years, getting young women involved in sport, in particular team sport, and keeping them involved through their at least early teenage years makes a fundamental difference to their socioeconomic outcomes as they grow older. So listen, we chose to become the first primary sponsor of women's and girls cricket for a reason. And that has very much to do with how we help generations move forward. Because if generations can move forward, for us that makes Metro Bank better over time.
Did you personally relate to that mission? Was that something that was throughout the bank? Do you have to convince people?
Oh, no. That's a good question. So I'd be curious what my ex-co would say. They're my executives who report to me. I kind of think it was me. And listen, I know cricket reasonably well. Don't let the accent fool you. But it's not obviously my passion. Yeah, I'm much better playing rounders. Exactly. I call baseball. You call rounders. So the reality is that the reason it appealed to me for the business is because I fundamentally believe it's a niche that has not yet been invested in sufficiently. So I felt we could make a difference as an organization, and I thought there was a real moment to do that. Obviously, there's some economic benefits. I think girls' sports is going to take off. I think there's a lot to support, but we did it fundamentally so we could host events in our Birmingham store or our Bath store for the local cricket clubs. You know, there are 13% more women's and girls' cricket clubs across England and Wales than there was a year ago. We're completely committed to creating new coaches. We want to grow the sport because we think it's good for the economies we operate in. So no. And it was mainly me. And to be honest, my new largest shareholder, who's from Colombia, where they do not play a lot of cricket, was a little suspect, I would say. But the value of it is in the way it engages colleagues, the way it engages communities, and we've been really thrilled.
And what made you choose cricket of all the options?
It's another good question. So we think it's an approachable sport. So again, we think it's something that actually fosters teamwork. And I think the other thing that made a lot of sense to us, we're a very diverse organization, and cricket is a very diverse sport. So it made a lot of sense to us for certain communities in which we really thrive in, both for colleagues as well as communities. We thought it fit very well. And you know, we had the team, we were kind enough, the team came in and we arranged an event shortly after signing the agreement. We couldn't fit everybody in the room. Like literally, we had colleagues from our IT department, we had colleagues from everywhere you could imagine who were just amazed by the fact that these heroes were with us, and you know, it matters a lot to the colleagues. Yeah.
And Caroline, you talked about the feeling you get with it, you know, when potential sports people talking about their sport or people who are fans of sport talking about it. What difference does it make in business from your point of view?
Sport, for many people can relate to it, and when they hear people talking about their experiences or the difference it's made, so many of my team play sport and they love it. It's just, you can really relate to that, and a lot of people have got, obviously, sports people as their idols. It's where they get their inspiration from, and it gives people something really positive, I think, on which to focus. And I'm really passionate at work getting people to talk about what they do outside of work in terms of their sport, the fun they have, the joy. It's a real unifier. It brings people together at work, and I love that. And it's a lot more interesting than some of the work we do a lot of the time. So quite often when I ask questions when I'm hiring, I'll say, give me a time when you felt challenged or when you had to overcome adversity or when you were bored. And so many times people use a sporting example, And it's really, as I say, it's a great, you learn so many different things. And I've watched my daughter, and anyone that's got children that play sport, you recognize they come home, they're fed up with teammates because they haven't done what they should have done. Right, well, you're having to learn to influence. Oh, the coach got it totally wrong, they didn't listen to me. And it's like, right, you're having to learn about leadership and, you know, dealing with people that maybe whose opinion you don't agree with, but you've just got to go on and do it. Or, you know, you didn't want to get up this morning, but you had to go and do it. So it's, you really begin to see the life skills that sport teaches you, which is so important, whichever environment you're in. Yeah.
Vicky, you've learned some challenges, learned through some challenges. I've met Vicky before, I'll be honest. Last time I met her, I asked her if she was completely raving mad. Share why.
How to follow on from that. So, yeah, at the back end of last year, took me on another journey across the Atlantic Ocean. So I led a team of four women to a 3,000-mile unassisted journey across the Atlantic, all with the sole mission of inspiring more girls and women to get into sport, to address the dropout rate of girls in sport when they hit puberty. I'd never rowed before, so, you know.
When we met, yeah, exactly. And I'll be honest, when we met, they just had somebody dropped out. And I got asked the obvious question, and I just wasn't tempted, what can I say? But fair play. I mean, it's not a small undertaking you took on there.
No, I mean, and, you know, it kind of was everything in terms of building resilience. It was everything in terms of, like, I brought together four women who were complete strangers. So it was about teamwork. It was about leadership. It was about overcoming adversity. So, you know, using that as a platform to say, if we can do this crazy thing that took 2.5 years of total sacrifice and total dedication to even get to the start line before the 40 days of seasickness and 30-foot waves and all of the rest of it at sea, then hopefully that stands as a platform to inspire girls and women of the incredible places that sport can lead you. And if we can do that, then hopefully, you know, girls might be inspired to try their first rugby coaching or get up and go to swimming when they don't feel like it, or, you know, maybe go back to sport later in life when for women who kind of have left sport for one reason or another. So that was the big motivator for that crazy journey.
It was amazing. It was awesome. But you were saying one of the big things was this frustration around the dropout rate for young girls. What's your thinking now?
We actually worked with a media partner as part of our campaign, and the media partner put out a kind of messages on their platform to say to their community, okay, girls and women in our network, can you maybe write in your kind of personal stories around why you've dropped out of sport or you don't feel like sport is a place for you anymore? And the stories that people kind of sent in were everything from the shocking to the upsetting to the purely kind of frustrating, but, you know, everything from access to confidence to facilities, awful stories, and all of those things, you know, are still prevalent and they still exist. And we wrapped our boat in those stories and actually physically rowed those stories across the Atlantic, which was really, really powerful. But, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done. As you say, it feels like this is a conversation that we've been having for a long time, but that's also, you know, why we're here and why we're here on this panel and why we are working to get investment in at the top level. Obviously, there's work to be done on the bottom level, but there's also, you know, the work that's happening at the top level to ensure that the investment then filters down to enable change and progress for the future.
Brilliant. Nick, bringing you on that point, how has Vitality tried to tackle that as well?
Well, I mean, Vitality aren't a stereotypical financial services provider. Ultimately, we're a wellness company, and sports and wellness and making members healthier is just within our DNA. And I love the point about making a difference. I mean, that is fundamentally what we're trying to do within sport. It isn't just slapping your brand on there and making sure that, you know, it ticks all the boxes. It's about going in and making a difference. So we've chosen sports that over-index in women and where we can truly make a difference. So when we went into this world of sports sponsorship, as I said before, you know, it did not chime with us that there was this inequality. You know, women was an AOB on an agenda item. It was rights that were thrown in at the end of a discussion, and that just wasn't right. So we chose certain sports where we could invest at grassroots level, and we could build participation, we could build communities. I think netball has been mentioned a few times today. It was a great example where we met with the CEO of the time, we went through their manifesto, we went on a journey from 2016 to the Commonwealth Games where we won it, or the team won it. But that particular case study is about getting to foundational grassroots, working with local communities to get young women and girls back to netball. It's about, therefore, also sponsoring the leagues, and actually it ended up with us sponsoring the national team as well with the Vitality Roses. In parallel, we sponsored the World Cup, where they won. And that was really interesting because there are certain initiatives like every 100 goals scored, we would fund a coach moving forwards. And I think netball's a good example. Cricket, I chime in with everything that's been said about cricket. We felt there was a real opportunity with the inaugural Vitality Blast, the T20, for men and for women. And I think the 100 was an inaugural moment for sport, for women's sport and for cricket, in that finally you had some sort of parity between men and women. And then other sports would be for recreational running. So we were one of the foundational founders of Park Run, which has just been the most incredible story, where it's just now the largest mass participation event in the world, I think, where it's 9 o'clock, it's 5K, it's time trials, and anyone can turn up. And that authenticity is just, you know, again, resonates so well with our purpose of getting people healthier. We don't care if you do that 5K in 15 minutes or 55 minutes. We just want you to get out there. And we partner with This Mum Runs for exactly the same reason, a very female-dominated, safe space for women to exercise without the barriers that, you know, my colleagues have talked about. And then we also built an ambassador program as well, which is spearheaded by women. I mean, Jim talked about Dame Jess Ennis-Cahill, who you'll know very well, Catherine. When we went into this world of sports sponsorship, we did a lot of studies around inspiration and inspirational people. And Jess over-indexed like nobody that we've ever seen before. So she spearheaded and still spearheads our ambassador program. And then we supported that with other women in sports that we were invested in, Heather Knight in cricket, Maggie Alfonsi in rugby, who actually worked for Vitality, Alex Danson in hockey, also works for us as an organization. So women and women in sport is so deeply rooted into our DNA about ultimately achieving our purpose of making people healthier.
And how do you know when it's working? How do you know, from a business point of view, that relationships work, that partnerships work, we're getting what we want from it, we're getting the, like you said, it has to make a difference.
It does exactly that. I mean, I think there are metrics that you can use for these things, but I think there's also gut feel. And we are very much a values-based organization, and we think doing the right thing and liberating the best in everybody, not just men and women, is fundamental to business success. And I think if you look at the impact that our Vitality program is having on our members, not just in the UK, but there are 40 million members globally now, we are making people healthier. And we know that Vitality members are 40% more likely to make positive choices. We know that however we slice and dice the data, there's just this correlation between activity, mental or physical, and healthy outcomes. So we know that if our members engage in our program, men and women, they are less likely to get an MSK issue, they're less likely to get a mental health illness, they're less likely to get a dreaded disease or a cancer. And therefore, we are doing social good, you know, through the Vitality program. So I think there are obvious metrics where, you know, on board reports that you can really gauge and measure whether it's working. But I think fundamentally, in terms of core outputs, you know, it's about bringing our values to life and doing the right thing.
Okay, I've got a last question for you all. So we're at a birthday party, aren't we? It's the 40th. Right, and it's, we're getting on. You're going to love sport by another 10 minutes. You're going to love sport. When we meet for the 50th, what would you want to be sitting here and going, that's been a successful?
So for us, it's relatively straightforward. We want more female coaches, so there's better role models.
Yeah.
And we want more women's and girls' clubs. That's it. And that's how we'll measure success, and we'll think we've made a difference if that happens.
I think for me, it's all about, you know, the visibility. So for, you know, young girls and boys in the playground, in school, to say, you know, for it to be totally normal to see girls and women playing sport on television and for them not to bat an eyelid, that would be success for me.
We're actually in the process of releasing some very interesting research, post an analysis that we've done with Women in Sport and Well HQ, that are looking at the barriers to female participation in sport. And there'll be some really powerful initiatives and interventions. So I think it's about almost charterising that and working with government, with NGOs and national governing bodies, and corporates and the workplace, to really put it on the board report. You know, we've signed up to other women's related initiatives like Women in Finance Charters, for example, where we look at pay discrepancies, we look at the percentage of women in senior positions at board level, management level, executives. And I think to replicate that for women in sport as a national governing body would be a success in 5 years' time.
For me, it would be a change in the numbers that Steph talked about in terms of having more teenage girls enjoying sports at school, so, and better mental health, so more choices. You know, the reason I did not like sport at school was I basically had two options. You either did hockey or netball. If you didn't fit in those two boxes, that was it. And, you know, the fact that girls now can play football at school, can do, you know, martial arts, so the more choice we can give our girls, and the broader we make the sports definition and allow them to participate and feel sporty, I'd love to see some of those statistics really change, because they're so depressing. You don't have to start big. You can start small. It's often about one thing and doing one thing different. And it starts with one thing, and that might be quite small. We may not be where we want to be in 5 years, but let's just start. And I think probably it starts with something small sometimes, and that's where you get momentum.
Some inspiring words to finish from Caroline Hawkins, Chief Talent Officer at Savanta. You also heard from Dan Frumkin of Metrobank, Vicky Monk from The Collective at Wasserman, Nick Reed from Vitality Programme, and the chair of the discussion, Dame Catherine Granger. Thank you to all of them for their participation and to their organisations for their support. Corporate engagement is key to achieving equality in sport, and each of our panellists gave some pretty clear benchmarks of what success looks like. More female coaches and more women and girls clubs. More choice for teenage girls at school. Equal visibility for women and men's sport in the media. Making equal representation at board level something that organisations showcase in their annual reports. Now we'd love to hear what you're going to do to create change. Go to our website, womeninsport.org, where you can donate to the charity and also get involved in our work. You can find us on all the usual socials too. If you enjoyed this conversation, please like, subscribe and rate wherever you get your podcasts. And check out our archive of dozens of interviews and discussions about women in sport, including further highlights from our 40th anniversary conference. My name is Julia George. Thanks for listening. And remember, everyone should be included in the joy, fulfillment and lifelong benefits of sport. See you next time.